When in early October 1963, Jerry Brophy, Howie Parks, and I boarded the civilian airliner at Travis Air Force Base in Northern California, the temperature was cool. When we landed at Tonson Nguyet Air Base a day later, it was hot and humid, and we began swatting mosquitoes as we left the aircraft. Welcome to Saigon. Our first stop was at the Majestic Hotel in what had once been the Pearl of the Orient, but was now a puritanical, smelly city whose morals were controlled by Ba Mrs. Nguyen, the sister-in-law of Na Dinh Diem, the president of South Vietnam. The three of us had just completed the Command and General Staff College and a crash course in the Vietnamese language. We sat at the sidewalk cafe outside of the hotel, looking out across the Saigon River. Two U.S. Army Warrant Officer helicopter pilots sat down at the table next to us. We overheard one say he was glad that his last mission in Nam was over and that he couldn't wait to get back to Fort Rucker, Alabama. The other one said he would be glad when November came and he could make his trip back to the land of the big PX. 2 hours later, they would both be smashed and staggering back to their hotel rooms, one with the barmaid. After 2 days of briefings, records processing, and checks, and the issuance of 45 caliber pistols and 2 clips of ammunition, the three of us departed in different directions. My flight stopped in Pleiku for several hours, and then I flew on to the Da Nang Air Base. It was already dark when we landed. I threw my duffel bag out on the tarmac and crawled down from the aircraft. I had no sooner picked up the bag than the aircraft began its taxi to the takeoff strip. Dust, pebbles, and a sheet of rain driven by the prop wash welcomed me to Advisory Team 2 at the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, ARVN, 2nd Division, I Corps. I could make out light as I walked toward a hangar. In it, there were several Marine Corps H-34 helicopters, 2 L-19 single-engine propeller-driven observation aircraft, and a shop van from which the light was coming. When I entered the hangar, a Marine guard took me to the van, and a lieutenant called Advisory Team 2 in Da Nang for transportation. A half hour later, a sergeant picked me up and took me to temporary quarters in Da Nang. The temporary quarters building was a 2-story motel-like affair. As I went to the second floor, I noticed that the occupants of 2 rooms below were having a party. I could see several Vietnamese girls in Western mini-dress attire dancing with Americans. In the morning, I received a ride to the officers' club and was ready to order breakfast when someone shouted, "Hey, Major! If you're assigned to Team 2, you should be seated here at our table, so I can count noses." I turned toward the voice, and a colonel sitting there said, "Yes, I mean you." After I was seated, the colonel explained in a loud voice that everyone else at the table apparently knew, that Advisory Team 2 advised the regiments, provinces, and districts in Quang Nam and Quang Tin provinces, and units in Da Nang, under the ARVN 2nd Infantry Division. The colonel then introduced himself as Colonel Pierce. I never did get his actual first name, the senior advisor to the commander of the 2nd Division. After that, there was only subdued conversation between Pierce and an overweight lieutenant colonel next to him. The others, majors, captains, and lieutenants, finished breakfast without introductions, excused themselves, and departed. A PFC then drove me to Team 2 headquarters, and I went into Pierce's office. Pierce's first words to me were that he had 2 vacancies. One was the position of regimental advisor in the ARVN 4th Regiment, and the other was the province advisor to the Quang Nam province chief in Hoi An. I told him that I'd prefer the assignment to the regiment. Pierce told me that a major sitting at the breakfast table had arrived 2 days earlier and had showed a preference for the province advisor position, and so I became a regimental advisor.